Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign. Sorry.
Everything changes. Nothing's consistent. That's life, kid.
Yep. Everything's chaos. Everything's meaningless. I think I'm coming down with some kind of like sickness.
Winter?
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
No, I'm just, I'm having like random sneezing jags, so I'm going to be riding the markers because I don't want that to get into the audio. But yeah, okay. I will just sneeze 5 or 6 times in a row, and it's been this way for a week.
What do you think your deal is?
I don't know. Like maybe, do I have a secret cat? Is there a secret cat just kind of like running around?
Like you got me
between the seams and the walls and stuff. Like, I don't know. That is the only plausible explanation. I don't feel sick otherwise.
Aren't you allergic to dust?
I'm allergic to dust, but my apartment's pretty clean.
I didn't know if you were cleaning out stuff or,
No.
I'm really just trying to help here, Cole. So.
Yeah. So if I sound weird, that's why. Otherwise, I don't feel sick at all. How are you? How are you recovering from the holidays?
I'm good. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Little gift hungover.
You just all that wrapping paper. You just freebase it.
Waiting for all those bills to come in.
Yeah. That's the thing. it's funny. Depending on how on top of your shit you are, I think that is a good like a good litmus test for how together you have it. Are you paying off your Christmas presents on the statement that comes in the middle of December, or do you have the January one?
The January one.
Yeah, no, I have the January one too, which means that I didn't buy a single thing in November.
I always do it that way.
Yeah,
because my resolution is don't pay credit card bills.
Wait a minute, like just let us stack up?
If you call them, it's much like negotiating a payment. And we don't have too many people that listen to this, so I know it's not going to get abused. But if you call them and say, hey, listen, really just set a resolution this year, something weird, never done it before. I'm not going to pay credit card bills this year.
No, let it ride.
And they're like, who else knows about this? And I say, no, just me. I haven't told anybody. Oh, all right. Well, then you're good.
Click.
Thank you for being a Capital One customer.
They have to honor it. Yeah, no, I knew. You know what? I know that I should be reading those updated annual privacy agreements they send me every 6 months, weirdly enough.
Right.
But that's that makes perfect sense. So they like, do they just like not send people after you or?
No, they don't.
Huh.
And American Express does the same thing, but you have to send them pictures of your junk.
Yeah.
Penetrating what you bought.
80-inch physio.
Or being penetrated by.
Yeah. 80-inch physio. Yeah.
Right.
And then you have to pay the hospital bills.
The 80-inch physio. I got layaway angeled.
I heard that episode too. Mm-hmm. That's probably why that was the first example to come to mind.
I would imagine. I just listened to it.
Yeah. No. I'm drinking out of my, what I'm calling my internet mug.
Yeah?
Yeah. did Emma really pick this out for me?
Which one?
No. So so I got 2 coffee mugs, from you two over the course of the holidays. One says number one uncle, and I love it and I'll cherish it forever. And the other one has a unicorn standing in front of a rainbow, and I'm calling this my internet mug because that's all the internet is. The only thing that's missing is the rainbow should be made of bacon.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, well.
But I'm drinking out of it because it's a nice mug. It's got an interesting shape to it.
Right. One of those mugs defines you. You choose.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's an aspirational mug. No, I got that. I got that mug. And I forget. Grandpa said, you know, I think he said, you're her only uncle, right? And I laughed, you know, because it was a joke like, aha, that's not really, that's not true. Oh, 1 second. Whoops. I should not be spinning that that barbecue lighter around like it's a revolver, which is what just happened. You there?
I'm here.
Okay. Sorry. I'm all over the place, Chris.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for the Lucy sketch to be over.
No, I've got this candle lighter and I spin it around. I always have to mess with something on my desk while I'm talking. At least it wasn't the scissors, which I'm picking up now.
When I'm doing this show, I usually use my mouse to look at something interesting.
Yeah, no, just waiting for your turn to talk.
Not listening to anything interesting, that's for sure.
No, it's just nothing but white noise. I'm not catching anything.
That's why I love your other podcasts.
It puts you right to sleep.
Sounds like the rainforest.
Grr. Yeah. You used your gift yet?
I did. I used it yesterday.
Oh, your car went off the road?
No, not yesterday. Into a lake? The day before. No, not that one. No, then not the escape module.
Yep. The all-in-one car window hammer / seatbelt cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No.
Jacker be gone.
Break my window. I'll break my window
mm-hmm.
for you. Please, sir, don't hurt me. No, you use your bear claws? Bear paws?
No, I use the rack.
Oh, the rack. Okay.
Yeah, the rack, you got me.
Did that work?
Yeah, it was good.
Cool.
I thought I was going to get a smoker, though. Not from you, just in general. I thought somebody would be a smart ass, buy me one of those and be like, oh, now you got to make us stuff.
No. I know that you enjoy doing that.
No, not
that.
You. I'm saying somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, it's not always about you.
Okay, no, I get self-conscious when I'm buying gifts for people because, like, is this tangentially a gift for me? I really want to be aware of that.
Yeah, there's two sets of holes in that bowling ball you got me.
Oh, that's a good idea. His and hers bowling ball?
Right.
Yeah. Huh.
Who knew?
Hey, Chris, what's your name?
My name is Chris.
My name is Cole. What episode is this?
175. Mm-hmm. Yeah, episode 175 of the comedy podcast Those Damn Ross Kids. And we already said who we are.
Yeah, and we're here to entertain your asses.
Neat. We mixed it up a bit.
Yeah, just a bit. Sorry, I got it. I got the order incorrect.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Cole, you know what I find interesting?
What?
When you have different places, different times, different industries where there are. Like they have their own vocabulary.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And two of those are prison and the porn industry.
Okay. Frequent topics of discussion here both.
Right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two terms and you're going to tell me which one is a prison term and which one is a porn term.
Okay. Wow. Are you going to provide definitions?
I am, yes.
Okay, cool. I was going to say, otherwise this would be really disappointing.
No, that's on you.
Okay, so I am not Googling. This is a no Google guarantee. Let us start the quiz.
Okay. Queening and choke sandwich.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to say choke sandwich is porn and queening is prison.
You are wrong.
Oh, wow.
Queening is when you sit on the side of a person's face as a form of bondage. As if it was a throne.
wait a minute. So they are looking at the wall. Their line of sight is parallel to the bed or the fuck bench.
Right.
Yeah.
They're in the guillotine looking at the crowd.
Okay.
More apt for queening,
I suppose.
A choke sandwich in prison is a peanut butter sandwich with no jelly.
Oh, that's delightfully innocent, Chris.
Right.
All right, so that is one entirely wrong for me.
All right. Dinner and a show, Roman showers.
Whew. Dinner and a show will be prison, and Roman showers will be pornography.
Correct. Okay. Are you familiar with either of these?
No.
Okay. Dinner and a show is when the inmates eat in the chow hall, and they watch other inmates fight and get pepper sprayed by guards, hence the show.
Oh, that's pretty, so they're just sitting back and chilling. They're like, right. they're just playing it off legit. That's pretty good.
Roman showers are vomiting on a partner, usually after drinking urine or wine.
Never both.
No.
Otherwise, that creates toxic gas.
Right.
Huh. I guess I went with porn on that one because I know, like, oh, Roman, you just say, like, they like to vomit, so maybe there's that. That's disgusting, though, Chris. I've never heard something so vile.
It's true, though.
Yeah. Okay, so one and one.
Okay. Dry snitching. Stranger on the rocks.
This feels like a trick, but I know that you think I think it's going to be a trick. So I'm going to say dry snitching is prison, and then stranger on the rocks is going to be porn.
True.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I got in your head and found out that you were in my head.
Dry snitching is when one inmate rats another inmate out by talking loudly in front of guards, but not actually telling the guards.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, they do that in television. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Stranger on the rocks is numbing your penis with a bucket of ice before a scene.
That doesn't make any sense. Usually the stranger is what? You sit on your left hand so it's numb and you don't feel your penis. On that makes no sense. Do you have any more context on that one?
No, I don't.
Is this?
I'm sure you can Google it.
Chris, is this something like a Blumpkin? Like, is this anything anybody's actually done?
I don't know, Cole.
All right.
I just made the quiz, dude.
Okay, so that's that's two in the yes column. I'm two for three.
Right. June bug, three-eyed turtle.
Wow. So I'm going to say, oh, man, June bug sounds really like folksy a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that is a prison term, whereas three-eyed turtle is probably going to be, again, more disgusting than Roman showers, maybe.
It's not like that bowling ball we talked about earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, June bug is a person considered to be a slave to others in jail or in prison.
Okay.
Three-eyed turtle is filling all orifices of a female by putting a thumb in the butt, fingers in the vagina, and the male organ in the mouth.
Ah.
Three-eyed turtle.
That's awful.
Right. Two more. Here you go. You're doing well with this one.
Okay.
All right. Tummy sticks, meat wagon.
I'm going to say that meat wagon is a prison term. You know what? Flip that. Reverse it. Meat wagon is porn and tummy sticks is prison.
Had it right the first time.
God damn it.
Yep.
I need tummy to have sticks, confidence, Chris.
Two guys laying down facing each other, simultaneously grinding penises on bellies.
No, oh, it's a form of male tribidism.
Tummy sticks. meat wagon is exactly what you think. In prison, as in the real world, it's an ambulance.
Ah, okay. Huh.
Yep. Here comes the meat wagon.
And you guys in the corner, puking on a lady.
All right, last one.
Okay.
Weight training, time to feed the warden.
Okay, something tells me this is the one. You saw one of these terms and it didn't apply to prison, and this was the seed for the entire quiz. So we have weight training and time to feed the warden. Let's see here. I'm going to Okay, are you in my head or am I in mine? I'm going to say that weight training is going to be a porn thing.
Correct.
And tie, yeah, there we go. Okay.
Yeah. The use of hanging weights on genitals or hooks for arousal, weight training.
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah. Time to feed the warden is taking a shit in prison.
That's pretty good. That's sticking it to the man.
Right.
That's punching up.
although there are many female wardens.
Mm. I mean, it's the man, capital T, capital M.
Right, right, gotcha.
Yeah, the man is irrespective of gender. Huh, that was a good one. So I only missed two out of five.
Yeah, you didn't do too, not too bad.
Not too bad, yeah, no, it's a solid D, which is a prison term, weirdly enough.
Solid D. That was a good one, Cole.
Hey, thanks. It's not very often that you acknowledge the things that I say.
Is your resolution to be hungry or not hungry? Yeah, was your resolution to be hungry? Was it to be humorous? Sorry.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm hungry.
do you want to get like a handful of cashews or something?
It's got to be your vocab.
That's pretty good. Huh.
Right.
No, good work.
Thanks, man.
Do you want me to give you a story?
Please.
Okay. So are you familiar with the notion of Chrome extensions?
Oh, yeah. They you can put them all over.
Oh, yeah. They can be pretty much anything. Well, there's a new Chrome extension that I desperately need, maybe even in my real life. This is called Just Not Sorry. Okay.
Okay.
And what this is seeking to do is eliminate words like sorry, actually, or just from people's email vocabularies. All right. So, hey, just writing to see if you have actually read this thing. Sorry to bother you, but let me know.
Hey, sorry to bother you. Just wanted to write to say thank you.
Yes.
Hey, if you liked it, let me know.
Right. That is when I was a producer, I wrote a lot of emails like that. But yes, so the kind of the idea behind this is to train people to come across as more confident because especially if they have that stripe of Midwest in them like I do, you kind of come across like a simpering little boy. With this, you undermine yourself, and it even drops a little red squiggly line like a spell check kind of thing under I think or something, anything that kind of undermines your authority. And when you hover over, you get quotes from people that explain, hey, why this is a bad idea from various writing guides and business people and stuff. So this actually seems like a pretty cool idea. I want to hear from you, you know, now that you're working in this kind of office environment, are you running into this? Are you an offender here or are you especially sensitive? Cause I can
No, I think it's something that like you, it, cause I don't, for my job, you don't need anybody really. So you don't have to, because I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to get something from someone, but you also know that you need something from them in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, hey, I'm doing my job and I'm sorry that my job is to make you do your job. But, you know, how are the TPS reports?
Right, right.
You know?
See,
I think that's what it comes down to is, you know, you're really just trying to say, hey, listen, I'm going to be doing this a bunch. So I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say I'm sorry every time.
Right. Until
I don't need anything more.
Mm-hmm.
All I need is what I'm sorry for asking about.
Yeah. No, I when I started examining my language, when I started doing, you know, just really paying attention to that, I realized, people who do this, when you're doing this, you're kind of walking up to the person with your tail between your legs. And what you're saying is, I am not a threat to you. So please, when you're writing your response back to me, don't ask me to do anything.
And
B, please do not turn this into a conflict.
What would I need you to do for me, Cole? Maybe that's why you don't talk to me like that.
Maybe.
You want to help me move?
I mean, just
can I borrow your truck? No, you don't have one of those.
No, I've got nothing that you need.
You want to help me do this drywall? No, that's not going to happen.
I can press a piece of sheetrock against a wall. That's fine.
Well, can we help me carry this computer into the Geek Squad?
Maybe. Maybe. But they're so light and small now.
you'd be like, no, they do house calls. That's what that car is all about.
Yeah, that's what their fucking PT Cruiser's about. Again, to let you know that they're not a threat.
Chris, this is why I don't pick up the phone.
No, but I really do think it's toxic because, I'm not actually sorry. And I apologize all the fucking time for anything. If somebody says, oh, man, I'm sorry I'm late. The traffic was real, real bad. I'll say I'm sorry.
Now, you know what I do? Like, if I'm in a store, and this is stupid, is that, I need to get by someone, and they need to move in order for me to get by them. Mm-hmm. So they see that they have to move, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, and then they go to get out of the way. And while they're getting out of the way, I say, no, you're fine, or no, you're good. Well, no, they're not good. They did have to move. I'm saying you're good, or like, you're fine. Like, no, I can get by. Mm-hmm. But they're moving and they have to. I don't know why I do that. So it's ridiculous. Me apologizing. There's nothing the matter with your character.
It's funny because that is so densely packed with social awkwardness right there. Because what actually is happening is like you look at them and like, okay, I've got to get by, or they perceive, then they see you, they make the eye contact, and they realize in that moment, oh, I'm probably in the way so I can make things easier for you. But in order to make it seem like they're not just kind of like clearing the way because they think that you're like a threat, like bowling down on them, like, oh, let me get out of your way, I'm sorry, right? And then they take a step, even though they may or may not need to. And because every tick needs a talk, every ping needs a pong. Mm-hmm. Then you hear their I'm sorry, and then you fire back saying you're good.
Mm-hmm. You too.
Yeah, exactly. you fire back saying you're good.
My favorite band. That's how I saved that. I don't have those awkward YouTube moments.
No. And you say you're good, but you're not actually meaning, oh, you were good where you were standing, because it helped that they moved. You wanted to actually acknowledge that they did something for you, but you also want to say, hey, I wasn't actually angry with you. Please don't throw that two gallon thing of milk at me and start right. Just, pounding my face in.
The added wrinkle to this is that when I'm impatiently waiting, I circle my nipples with my finger.
Well, that's just your like idle animation.
Like, no, you're good.
You just uh-huh. Yeah, it just you got your drool cup right there.
You may want to put on your Gallagher suit. Here it comes.
You're a moist shopper. But yeah, like everybody's trying to fucking Ken Jennings or whatever, they're what's his name, Bobby Fischer, they're way around these social interactions, being 20 moves ahead.
Oh, wow.
And then you turn into an anti-Semite like Bobby Fischer did.
Yeah,
he's crazy.
Hey Cole, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission has done a study by analyzing annual emergency room visits to find out that the most common people to punch a wall are 15-year-olds.
I saw this. It's funny, like, when you see it all in a row like that.
Yeah. They did 1,200 these were reported in 2014. 15-year-olds were more common. Men were three times more likely.
Huh.
Although, while punching, it's not like one of those things like rape. It doesn't go up like during NFL games.
Right.
It's consistent throughout the year.
Huh.
The motives reported to the ER doctors are anything from a teen got angry because he couldn't see his girlfriend to a 25-year-old man who guzzled some brandy and tequila.
What's that drink called, Chris?
It's brandy and tequila?
Yeah, it's a fancy Mexican.
It's called a fine girl.
Oh, that's pretty good. Oh man, yeah, no, but they just basically ran some analysis and the mode of everybody who's ever gone to the ER for punching a wall.
Brandy, you're a fine girl, fine girl. Good wife you would be.
Yeah,
but my life, my love, and my lady is the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. Sorry,
that's a terrible song to have come up at karaoke because it's 7 minutes long.
Yeah, right.
And it's in a range, it's in a band, it's in a key that nobody can really sing in while sounding good.
Right.
Yeah. Now it's a nightmare.
Are you playing like death karaoke?
What do you mean death karaoke?
Where the songs just come up.
I've seen that. I've seen people do like karaoke roulette.
There you go.
Yeah. Huh. But no, not for me, but I like when somebody else does it. Like you have those standards, like, oh, here's a bunch of, here's three girls. Is it gonna be fucking Moulin Rouge or is it gonna be fucking Love Shack?
I don't know. There is one pro tip within this article about the wall punching, though.
Okay.
Don't punch a wall that was made pre-1946.
Oh, it won't give.
Lathe and plaster.
Yeah, no, that's you're gonna hit a seam where your cat's hiding. Yeah. No, like you want one of those nice like 1980s houses that's basically just pressed sawdust the entire way around.
Other stuff people hit: windows, doors, dumpsters, lamps, paper towel holders, thermostat.
Well, paper towel holders are just people who are big Breaking Bad fans.
Oh God!
Yeah, thermostat, really?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, shards of mercury everywhere. Fuck.
So hot in here.
So basically the most commonly punched objects are whatever's there.
Well, yeah. And then the only person who consistently punches a thermostat is Warren G.
Why? Because he has a thing about regulators?
He's the only one who regulates.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Nate Dogg is there too.
Like, don't you ever send him to the hardware store, to the plumbing section.
Chris, that is possibly like the most not convoluted, but there's a lot of steps that go into that.
So it's not a good Home Depot commercial. Their plumbing section, Warren G throwing shit, our plumbing section. A man in an orange apron saying, how can I help you?
Chris, that is ludicrous. Nobody actually works at a Home Depot.
No, Ludacris is a rapper.
I went to Home Depot to buy one of my fancy light bulbs and I couldn't find it. I couldn't determine if they were in stock. Chris, that is a building the size of an airplane hangar that has nobody working in it.
Yeah, it's an echo generator.
It's like one of those completely silent rooms that you can't stand in because you go crazy.
Now, I guess what happens is that those stores like that, from what I've been told, they go in cycles.
Okay.
So like they'll be way understaffed to the point that eventually their satisfaction or complaint levels get really low.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have teams of staff that go around to get things back up.
And then,
so you'll go there sometimes and there'll be like a million employees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means that their surveys are down.
Yeah.
Then they drop staff after they get it back up until it goes down again, and then they saturate again.
It's like fucking the wire. You're chasing the numbers, man. That sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, that's the way it works. So especially the Lowe's is one of them. They have corporate employees that wear beige vests as opposed to the normal red vests.
But is this public knowledge? Like, did you have to read this on a special like mailing list?
No, it's on Consumerist.
Okay.
Not really. I don't know. I don't know where I heard that. Maybe I made it up. Maybe
I don't think
it's not real. I don't know.
You just see these people in beige vests everywhere. Huh. Yeah. I don't like so to be fair, most of my life, I walk around dead inside. Don't really feel much of anything. But when I do get angry, it's because I get frustrated at a video game, but I don't throw a controller or anything. And what ends up happening is I just pound on my knee. Like, like Gene Wilder at the beginning of Young Frankenstein.
Or like a hillbilly at the end of a spoon sequence.
Yep. But I'm an upstairs neighbor, so I'm trying to be, I try to be considerate. And so I don't, it's exactly like a hillbilly. I don't want to have my foot planted on the ground and then pound my knee and, you know, make like a big thump. So I raise my foot up and I just hit my knee as it's airborne.
Who says I don't exercise?
Well, sometimes I'll do this on an exercise bike. This is, it's weird. It's weird the way we prop everything up. Well, since we're talking about consumer stuff with these walls and whatnot, why don't we talk about some people who are called the harbingers of failure? Okay.
Okay.
There are all kinds of products that are destined to fail, right? And a product's failure means that it's going to be pulled from the shelves within 3 years. Okay.
Okay.
Now, this is a study that's from the MIT Sloan School of Management or something like that.
Hard Knocks.
Yep, the Sloan School of, hey, that cute lady from Ferris Bueller. And what they're saying is that people who are going to buy something like watermelon Oreos. Yep. Well, those failed. Those went away. That's not the only product like that they're going to buy. The 1 in 4 people who buy a product that fails go on to just only buy those kinds of things. So Coke Black, Pepsi Blue, any of these kind of awful products that somehow squeaked by the focus groups.
Jack Black.
Yep. Anybody who went to see School of Rock.
Right.
Yeah.
Selfie, me holding my watermelon Oreos at School of Rock.
Yep, at School of Rock Con.
Caffeine-free Surge.
Well, Surge came back. Caffeine-free Surge, what's the point?
Yeah, that was the idea.
Okay, cool, thank you. And yeah, unfortunately, I copied the wrong link for this, so I can't get any more details. But yes, there are just certain people who are considered harbingers of failure. And MIT's recommendation for anybody who's developing a product is don't just focus group. Try and figure out if the people who are saying, yeah, I'd buy that, are also somebody who bought one of these shitty other products that failed. Because they're like, what MIT has just confirmed is there are people who maybe don't have like bad taste, because that's not a really charitable read on this, but just have the stink of death on them.
Right.
Yeah. And imagine living the life of one of these kinds of people. It's like, oh, all my favorite things, that like they go away. They die. Everything I touch withers.
Have you seen this show on Animal Planet where they have like these, speaking of testing, they have these four dogs who humans go to this show on Animal Planet with pet products. And they pitch their product to these dogs.
Oh, it's called the Bark Tank?
Right.
Was that the joke? Is that an actual thing?
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Are you joking with me?
No. Yeah. Define joke. Because it was a real pitch.
It was a real... I mean, do you want me to help you workshop this? Are you...
No, I guess what I'm asking is, do you know any animals at Animal Planet?
I know some people in monkey suits, but I think those might just be furries.
Right. I know people in monkeys too.
Are you angry that I guessed the punchline?
No,
is that
I'm
what you
glad
were?
You did. It's okay. Much easier when you get it. Okay. That way I don't have to go, that was a long walk. Can you call back from at least the last calendar year?
Yeah, no, that's a so actual. So I love that because the most awesome thing about Shark Tank or Dragon's Den or whatever is hearing people's kind of heartfelt stories, right? Like, oh, my husband was away at the war and I needed to keep my kids busy, so I came up with Fucko the clown. He's a rubber clown. He's 2 times life size, and I'm looking for
he's one... also a knee brace. Yeah. Because my veteran was paralyzed.
Yep.
Yep. Can also be used as one of those blade legs.
Yep. So now my veteran, he just walks around dressed up inside Fucko the clown like an exoskeleton, delighting our children, terrifying strangers. And we're looking for $1 million for 5% equity.
Now, when Scott was in Afghanistan, I fucked around and got syphilis, which really got me to thinking. I'd really like to make my own cookies and cream ice cream, but how do I smash the cookies?
But what I want is What I want is crazy fucking pet people to come in and tell their story about how Gingerbread loves the miniature Fucko the Clown dog version. Yeah, no, that'd be pretty good. You don't get any of the dialogue. You just get the pets playing with
it. Does your cat always puke on the rug? Here's puke rug.
Here's a spray that will it is a non-nutritive varnish on top of your rug.
It's a rug you put on your rug.
Yeah,
it's an over rug.
Yeah, it's a rug cover. Yeah, it's a rover rubber. Yeah, no, that's a pretty good idea. Bark tank is a no, I'm gonna cut that out. That's not gonna make it into the show because we need to sit on that for a minute.
And we should probably cut out the last 15 minutes because that's all we talked about.
I'm not actually going to cut it out, Chris.
Yeah, they can have it. I get better ideas than that.
Oh well,
it's called meat. Okay. It's a place where butchers hook up.
It's me.at.
Right.
Chris, you got a story?
Yeah. Is it my turn again?
Yeah. I did the fucking Harbingers thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Most memorable. many diets prepare you to have a beach body, but the latest diet in Hong Kong, which I believe is in China. Nope. Yeah.
Yeah, it became part of China in 1999.
Gotcha.
It's ceded from the from being
I don't need all that.
UK protectorate. Okay, go ahead.
Diets get you ready for the beach. The Hong Kong diet involves the beach itself. You don't go on the sand, you don't run on the sand, you don't run against the wake. You don't do yoga. What you do is you stand on the beach and stare right into the sun.
You're fucking with me.
Nope. There's this one place on this beach, unobstructed views. I assume that there's smog isn't so bad there. Dieters gather twice a day, once in the morning before their workday, and once in the early evening after they finish their jobs. They go through a set of movements. Remove their shoes, put on their sunglasses, and then set a timer and start their dieting session, which involves just staring at the sun.
That's not a diet.
Some choose to wrap light fabric around their faces, although that is not a requirement of the diet.
That's not a fucking diet. It's not telling them what they can and can't eat.
Okay. Beginning on the first day of the diet, a participant stares at the sun for 10 seconds. For every day during the remaining 9 months of the diet.
That's not a fucking diet.
You know, they
are they photosynthesizing? Are they like those fucking monks who live on sun and one tablespoon of lentils a year?
I don't know. They had an additional 10 seconds per day and for 9 months until they basically just become the sun. Strict adherents don't even wear, you know, sunglasses.
Right. We call them blind people.
The underlying belief is that of the diet is that staring directly into the sun, the fitness enthusiast absorbs solar energy, which is acceptable substitute for calories.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I was on the nose. It is the your Galactus, prince of the sun.
Eat as much as you want. The universe is endless and ever expanding.
How many carbs does sunlight have?
I don't know. Do you put it in a blender?
Chris, I don't even. I. You know what? All your life, people have been telling you don't stare directly into the sun. Scientists, doctors, teachers, parents. But you know what? They just don't want you to succeed. I'm kind of dismayed that I got it right on the nose with the photosynthesis thing.
I guess.
Yeah.
We're all made of plants.
I mean, we all subsist on, you know. We live on top of a mountain of dead things that propel us forward as fuel.
Rutabaga and goji berries.
Yeah. Chris, don't out my smoothie recipe. It's not a fucking diet.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
You want to call that it, or you?
Let's call that it.
You're not saying anything, so I assume we're done.
Yeah.
Hey, Cole, what can they do?
Well, if they want to help us out, they can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids. And there's also the Patreon and such. And tell friends, you know, spread the word that the show is back and all of that good stuff. I don't know. I don't want to hit them over the head with too much homework this time.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So let's call it. Sorry, America.
Keep fucking that chicken.
Changing it up, huh?
I find that all the other shows tell people to do stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, not like go to Patreon or whatever, but you
yeah,
know.
But like just the seatbelts thing.
It's like tips and stuff, you know?
Yeah. You know, solutions for living.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry though.